Good morning. I'm Hannah, for those of you who don't know me. I'm sure most of you do by now. Today we're looking at the passage that Lance read to us this morning from Luke, the end of Luke. So we're with the disciples, and we're carrying on from last week, from when we heard about the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. So it's the day of the resurrection, and the disciples are still in Jerusalem. And we're going to look at today how the disciples are transformed from being scared and hopeless and locked in a room to bold worshippers ready to go out and tell the world about the risen Jesus Christ. So I just wanted us to recap the disciples' journey from Palm Sunday, which actually is when I last spoke to you, to Easter Sunday. So they've welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem as the Messiah who the Jews have been waiting for and hoping for and expecting. They spent most of that week in the temple with Jesus, listening to him teach people, and they must have had a real growing sense of anticipation of what he would do next. Then they shared the Passover meal with him, which we now know as the Last Supper. And they listened to Jesus talking about betrayal and his body and blood. And then that night they watched Jesus being betrayed and being arrested for being the Son of God, who they believed he was. The disciples must have then spent a sleepless night just waiting, and we know that Peter was so scared and distressed that he denied that he even knew Jesus. And then the next day they stood and they watched Jesus, their friend, their Messiah, being killed on a cross. We presume, we don't really know, it doesn't say in the Bible, that they spent the next day, the Sabbath, probably together, I guess in shock and in grief, not really knowing what was going on. So in the passage that we had read to us today, we find the disciples on the evening of the day after the Sabbath, still in Jerusalem. Earlier that day, they've been told by the women that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive. And some of the disciples went to the tomb to have a look, and they see for themselves that Jesus' body is gone. They've also just heard that Peter has seen Jesus. And then the two disciples who were on the Emmaus Road come to them and add their testimony that Jesus has walked with them and has shared bread with them. If we look at the same passage in John, we see that the disciples were all together locked in a room. They were afraid of the Jewish authorities, and they were afraid of what would happen if people knew that they were friends with Jesus. So they've gathered together in a room, they've locked the door, and they're talking about what on earth is going on. The couple of verses before the ones we've read today tell us that the disciples did believe that Jesus was alive. Let me read them to you. They're going to come up on the screen as well. They, that's the two disciples from the Emmaus Road, got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." That's Peter. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So they say they believe, but then when Jesus appears to them in their locked room, they're frightened and they think that he's a ghost. I just thought it would be helpful if we take a look at the emotional roller coaster that the disciples have been on to try and understand the transformation that takes place as Jesus appears to them. A transformation that sees the disciples go from cowering behind locked doors to then publicly praising him in the temple. So when the disciples welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem just a week before this on Palm Sunday, they must have been full of joy and anticipation. They thought Jesus was the Messiah coming to free Israel from the Romans, and they would have been excited at what they thought was the start of this takeover. They believed Jesus was the Son of God, and they were loyal followers of his and true friends. They'd been with him for 3 years. Then at the Last Supper, the disciples' confusion was growing, and they didn't really understand what Jesus had to do. They didn't understand that he had to die and would come back to life. So as they watched him be betrayed by one of their own group and then arrested, they must have been confused and just feeling like their hopes were just slowly slipping away. They would also have been afraid, I guess, for Jesus, because he was their friend. They were afraid of what might happen to him. Then the next day, watching Jesus be led out and crucified, I guess they would have felt like their world had ended. They were grieving for their friend. They were mourning the hopes they had in Jesus. They were probably feeling betrayed and confused, and I imagine completely lost. It's no wonder they were all gathered together in a locked room. They didn't really know what was going on. I wonder if you can put yourself in their shoes at that time. I guess any of us who have experienced the loss of a loved one, or a broken relationship, or a betrayal, or a loss, will have some idea of what it feels like when everything you know is suddenly gone, or you're forced to question everything that you thought you could trust and believe in. The disciples would have been floundering. And again, thinking of ourselves, we know it takes time to deal with grief and loss. It can take years. So the disciples on the third day after Jesus had been crucified would have still been completely in shock, completely numb. They hadn't had any time really to come to terms with what had happened. So in the midst of this confusion and shock, they get news that Jesus is alive. And as I read to you in those earlier verses, they said they believed it. But when Jesus then appears to them suddenly, they're frightened. I imagine they wanted to believe the reports they heard, but in reality, it was just too much for them to take in. So at the beginning of our passage that we read today, Jesus appears and the disciples think he's a ghost. I think I would have done too. The door's locked and suddenly Jesus is standing there in front of them. The simplest explanation is that he is a ghost. But Jesus completely understands what they're feeling, and the first words he says to them are, "Peace be with you." He's also quick to persuade them that he is the same Jesus who they watched being crucified. He shows them his hands and his feet where he would have had holes from the nails. And he tells them that ghosts don't have flesh and bones. At this point, the disciples must have just been reeling. If Jesus wasn't a ghost, if they weren't just seeing things because they were so upset and grieving, then he must have come back from the dead. That's a lot for them to take in. After the disciples had seen, and I guess they probably would have touched his hands and his feet, touched him to make sure he was alive, verse 41 tells us, "And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence." So the disciples have gone from being startled and frightened to a state of such joy and amazement that they can't quite believe their eyes. It's too good to be true. The truth is slowly sinking in that Jesus has come back to life and that he's standing there with them. Their fear is turning to joy and the shock is turning to amazement. The next bit of the passage sounds a bit to me like Jesus is saying, "I did tell you so." Jesus says to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." So the time is right now for the disciples to see and to understand. Jesus opens their minds and their eyes so that they can see who he is and what he's come to do. They've met the risen Jesus, and now Jesus wants them to understand why he had to die and come back to life again. He reminds them that all the prophecies about him have been fulfilled. When I was looking into the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, I found out that there are over 350 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. I didn't count them all myself, I'm afraid. I just Googled it. There are apparently more than 40 prophecies about the Messiah that the Jews were expecting and who he would be, and Jesus fulfilled all of them. So all of the Old Testament looks forward to the coming of Jesus the Messiah, and all the prophecies spoke of his rejection and his suffering and his death and his resurrection, either directly or indirectly. And yet up to now, the disciples hadn't understood that he had to die and that he had to come back to life until now. In our passage today, Jesus doesn't go into all the scripture like he did on the Emmaus Road with the two disciples, but he does summarize that his death and his resurrection are for repentance and forgiveness. Now the disciples know what it was all about. They know that Jesus had to die so that we can all live. And the next few verses are Luke's Great Commission, I think, his version of the Great Commission. Jesus tells them, "The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So the disciples have been given their mission. As witnesses of Jesus' death and resurrection, they're the ones to go and tell others. This is the good news that has to be preached to the whole world. They've seen and they've been changed, and they have to share it. But Jesus doesn't want them to go on their own, and I don't think they could have done it on their own. So he tells them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is given to them. In our passage, Luke jumps then from the resurrection day to the day of Jesus' ascension into heaven, which is actually 40 days later. But in John and in 1 Corinthians, we hear about various other appearances that Jesus made to the disciples and to bigger groups of people. So Jesus kept on teaching his disciples, and he kept on reassuring them in the 40 days between his resurrection and the ascension. I guess it gave them some time to come to terms with what happened, to kind of understand and learn from the scriptures. I bet they went back then and looked at all the prophecies and thought, yeah, actually, now we can see. And it gave them some time to just work through all the emotional trauma and shock that they'd been through. Luke doesn't tell us much about Jesus' ascension into heaven. What's more important, I think, in his account is that the disciples are now full of joy and praise. They're no longer afraid of the Jewish authorities. They're no longer hiding in a locked room. In fact, they're at the temple where the Jewish authorities would have been, and they're praising God. They didn't have to wait long either before the Holy Spirit came, as Jesus had promised them. Just 10 days after Jesus' ascension, the Spirit falls powerfully on them at Pentecost. But that's another sermon. So in our passage today, the disciples were transformed by meeting the risen Jesus. At the start of our passage, they said he was alive. They said they believed he was alive, but their actions and their emotions kind of told otherwise. But then in seeing Jesus face to face, and in understanding the good news of why he had to die for us, they're transformed into joyful worshippers. Experiencing the risen Lord changed them, so they were ready to take on Jesus' mission on earth, and even to die for him as well. So, how about us today? Do we truly believe that Jesus died for us and is alive and present with us today by his Spirit? Have we met and experienced our risen Saviour? Are we ready to take his good news to the world and even to die for him? Jesus is alive, and he doesn't want us to just sit in church and say we believe, I don't think. He wants us to go out there and to take his good news to the world around us. But we have to be able to meet with him. We have to have met the risen Jesus to be able to do that. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to be that disciple. I want to be able to not just say I believe, but I want to go out there and show people that I believe. I want to be transformed like those disciples were by meeting Jesus face to face. And yet often I think I feel a long way short of what I should be. And I feel like I fall a long way short of being spirit-filled and joyful and powerful like the disciples were. So I wonder if we could do something that might be a little bit scary. But if you feel the same as I do, if you just want to meet Jesus again, to see him face to face and to be transformed like those disciples were, then I'd love for you to stand, and I'd love to pray for us that we could just spend some time with Jesus today and let him transform us and change us. So if you'd like to do that, please stand, and I'm going to pray for us.